So here in New Eight Steps, Geshe-la tells us how to meditate on wishing love. He says we should begin our meditation focusing on our family and our friends. This is so powerful, you know. Our family and our friends are the people we spend most of our time with. If we cannot generate affection, cherishing love, and wishing love for our family and friends, we will never generate it for other beings, never. So we need to begin. Sometimes it's determination, isn't it? I have to meditate on this. Family and friends. Sometimes when we bring our family and friends into our mind to contemplate, we start immediately to generate delusions, don't we? And immediately think, oh, I don't like my family. That's where we need to start. We mustn't run away. In Buddhism, you know, one thing we can do is we can kind of generate all kinds of beautiful feelings in our meditation. And we can walk around with a big smile on our face, loving everybody, especially at festivals, especially when we are with our Kadampa Sangha friends, and when we are not with our family and our ordinary friends, when we're away from them, then we're very happy then. But then we think about our family and friends, or we go back to our family and friends, and negative minds start to come again. So this is a sign. Our meditation is not taking us anywhere. Actually, we're just fooling ourselves, just kidding ourselves. So please, you know, we must do this. We must meditate on the people with whom we live, family and friends, with whom we do have difficult relationships sometimes. First of all, meditating on wishing love goes like this. We visualize or we imagine we're surrounded by all living beings, but in particular, our family and friends close by. And we reflect, we think, contemplate. As long as they remain in samsara, they will never experience true happiness. Even the limited happiness they presently experience will soon be taken away from them. That's the cruelty of samsara, isn't it? All the happinesses that we experience that are taken away from us by sickness, by aging, by death. All of our happiness is removed. No choice. Got to go. So contemplating like this, we generate a powerful feeling for them to experience the pure and everlasting happiness of enlightenment. It just naturally comes. How wonderful it would be if all these living beings could experience pure and everlasting happiness and be free from suffering permanently. How wonderful. And then we extend this feeling of wishing love to include all living beings. And with the understanding and belief that the happiness and freedom of each and every living being are far more important than our own, we then think, okay, so there's two things here. One is we get this feeling, strong feeling, wishing for everyone to be happy, pure and everlasting happiness. Then we have the recognition that the happiness and freedom of every living being is more important than our own. There's two things, isn't it? Strong feeling, then their happiness is more important than my own. Then we think, finally, how wonderful it would be if all living beings attained the pure and everlasting happiness of enlightenment. May they attain this happiness. I myself will work for this aim. Okay? So this third point is, we say, like a superior intention. It's almost the intention of a bodhisattva, isn't it? It's like, how wonderful. So everybody would say, oh yeah, how wonderful if all living beings could experience pure and everlasting happiness. That's not so difficult. Then we make a prayer. May they attain this happiness. I really, really want them to attain this happiness. And then thirdly, third thing, I myself will work for this aim. I myself. I take responsibility to produce pure and everlasting happiness, to find everlasting happiness for each and every living being without exception. Okay, so there's three stages in that final part of the meditation. we remain single-pointedly on this precious mind of wishing love for as long as possible. And we repeat this meditation every day until we spontaneously wish that each and every living being will experience the happiness of enlightenment. And this spontaneous wish is actual wishing love. Okay, so when the wish becomes spontaneous, effortless, then we have generated, we have gained the realization of wishing love. Such a beautiful, profound realization. We're almost bodhisattva. Yeah, almost very high being, quite advanced person now. Because every single living being, we are working now for their benefit. We are working. We are putting ourselves in their service. We're trying to benefit all living beings without exception. We've dedicated our life to working for the benefit of these living beings, all living beings. Maybe we still have to go to work. We still have a job. We have a family. We have a business. We have friends, all these things. We still do all these ordinary things, these normal things, of course. Of course we do that. But our intention has changed now. The direction of our life has switched from selfish to working only for others. Yeah? We've perfected that realization of exchanging self with others. And now we've generated even a higher realization of wishing love, yeah? Which is the same nature as great compassion. Actually, wishing love, great compassion, two sides of the same coin, we say, two sides of the same mind. Like this. So you are very fortunate people having the intention to develop this precious mind of love, wishing love. Just having the intention, just having an interest is unequaled today. In our modern world, most people have no interest at all, not the slightest interest. They don't even know, they've never heard about affectionate love, cherishing love and wishing love. They've heard about love, but for them, it's always mixed with desirous attachment. But like ourselves, maybe our love now is mixed with desirous attachment. Here, Venerable Geshe-la is teaching us from the Kadampa teachings, giving us clear explanation how to develop pure affectionate love, pure cherishing love, pure wishing love. So we're very fortunate just hearing the teaching, just listening to the instruction, buying the book, okay? And then studying until we understand. From our own contemplation, we have a higher form of wisdom, understanding what is this type of love. And then we can meditate on it. But this doesn't happen in one or two classes, one festival or one study program or something. It's a long time we need to study, contemplate, meditate, a long time on these teachings again and again and again until they penetrate. And our mind transforms. You know? So we do this as we're doing the rest of our life. Whatever we are doing in our life, we carry on doing it. But we put some time on one side each day to meditate. Yeah? Or at least to study, if we have no time to meditate. At least some study every day, something to recharge our spiritual batteries. You know? We're always recharging our phones. Why do we never recharge our spiritual batteries?